In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm glad to be with you to proclaim the Word of God, to proclaim it in season and out of season, when convenient or inconvenient, to proclaim Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh, and He is the Lord. And oh, how He needs to be proclaimed through the earth, because the earth is living in such darkness. And there's only one light that there is. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. I'm reading and preaching first from the fourth Sunday of Easter, which we had yesterday, and I'm reading from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 4, 8 to 12. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was done in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene." Again, it's this man at the beautiful gate that was crippled from birth, that was begging money, and he was healed. How? "In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead." Hallelujah. "In his name," the name of Jesus, "this man stands before you healed." It is always Jesus who does the healing. It is always Jesus' name that does the healing. The power of Jesus' blood and the power of his resurrection. It's all about Jesus. The church is all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about the church. It's not about in season. It's about Jesus Christ. This man stands healed before you. In his name, this man stands healed before you. He is the stone, Jesus, rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. I believe it's really the keystone. The keystone is in the ark. An ark is the middle of the ark, and if you take the keystone out, everything falls. He is the keystone, and there is no salvation through anyone else but in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the only name by which we are to be saved. There is salvation in no one else. That's why we've got to preach Jesus, because Jesus is all about bringing people into salvation. And how does he save us? Through his passion, death, burial, and resurrection. Oh yes, we need to continue to proclaim Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the head of the church. The church would be wise if she only preached Jesus. I would be wise if I only preached Jesus. Now, we need to know about how we live because we believe in Jesus, but it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about the church. It's not about in season. It's about Jesus Christ. And there is no name under heaven other than the name of Jesus to which to be saved. You might say, that's unfair. And I'd say, well, you know what? Salvation is God's gift to us, and it's only done in the name of Jesus Christ. Then we had the psalm that the Lord, the church, gave us. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men." It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. That's right. No matter who the people are, high state, it is better to take refuge in Jesus Christ. "I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have been my Savior." Hallelujah. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Yes, the builders would be the Jewish people, and they rejected Jesus for the most part, but it has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. Now I'm telling you, though they rejected Jesus, there will be a time when all the Jews will come to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. It tells us that in the letter to Romans 9, 10, 11, and 12. All the Jews one day will come to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have been my Savior. Yes. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Yes. It's all about needing a Savior, not about needing a philosopher. We need a Savior, because drowning men need a Savior. Men that have sinned and needs a Savior to forgive them. Because our sin is an infinite offense against God, and Jesus Christ is that sacrifice, that one sacrifice that brings us back to salvation, not back to salvation, that gives us salvation. I'm reading now from 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. What a title, that we are adopted children of God. The adoption papers came through the blood of Jesus and through the resurrection of Jesus. Yet that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we do know when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are already the children of God, and when we see him, we're going to become like him. My Lord, this is beyond expectation. We're going to become like him. Why? Because he is the Lord, and he gives us that gift. Imagine that I and you, when we see Jesus, are going to become like Jesus completely. That's amazing. That doesn't mean we're God. It means we're going to become like him. We're going to have resurrected bodies. Hallelujah. We're going to become holy, completely holy, completely holy, completely other, because he makes us holy. Oh, holiness is not something to be achieved. Holiness is given by Jesus Christ and only by Jesus Christ. The Gospel, John 10, 11 to 18. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's exactly what Jesus did. The hired man who is not the shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. Why? And the wolf catches and scatters them. Why? Because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. Our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross was both shepherd and lamb. Shepherd and lamb gave his life for us that he would take it up again. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. Bah! Do you know him today? Bah! Are you one of his sheep today? Have you given your life to him today? Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. That's what he did on the cross. And I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me. Why? Because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. That's right. The Father loved Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ lays down his life on the cross and takes it up again in the resurrection. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up. This command I have received from my Father. So we see that Jesus is the good shepherd. And we know that in order to be a good shepherd, we must be like Jesus. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We cannot be like Jesus without the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift is given to us at baptism, in confirmation, in ordination, but that gift needs to be released in the baptism of the Spirit. Oh yes, that we would be filled with the Spirit of God, and that we would become good shepherds, caring for the sheep, not because we work for pay, but because Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is Lord. So today, we want to tell you that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, that He laid down His life for you, that He took it up again in the resurrection for you. This was the Father's will, and this is the will of God, that Jesus Christ has adopted you through His blood, through His death and resurrection. You are an adopted child of God. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we know when it comes to light we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We're back now to the Acts of the Apostles, the 13th chapter, after Paul preached to the people, Jewish people in Antioch. We see the 44th verse. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to the Jews, but seeing you put it out from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. But the first gospel must be preached to the Jews, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? People came and believed. They became part of the church, part of the way, part of the body of Christ. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. Why? Because they preached the gospel. And they expelled them out of their coasts. And what do they do? What does Paul and Barnabas do? They shook off the dust from their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Why were they filled with joy? Because they found themselves worthy of persecution. Isn't that something? That when we're persecuted, I'm persecuted. But the apostles, like Paul and Barnabas, were filled with joy because they were persecuted for the sake of Jesus. Persecution is what God promises us. He does not promise us cancer. That's why we need to get the best doctors when people have cancer and the best prayers that God would heal the sick. That's why. Because God wants us healed. How do I know that? Because He bore our wounds and carried our infirmities on the cross. And I know this is the will of God. Now, I prayed for my brother and he was not healed. But you know what? He came to know Jesus at the end of his life, and that was good enough for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogues of the Jews. Remember, salvation is first to the Jew. And so spoke that great multitude, both Jews and also Greeks believed. So Paul is into preaching. He's not into baptizing people, as he will tell us in another place. He's into preaching the word of God, preaching Jesus. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil and affected against the brethren, against the brethren, against the brethren. We see persecution again. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. This is something that we have forgotten about, that signs and wonders come through the preaching of the gospel. Through the preaching of the gospel, we should expect signs and wonders through the preaching of the gospel. I remember a man coming to us who was riddled with cancer. I really don't remember him, but we prayed for him, and I was told that when he went home, he was completely healed of the cancer, completely healed. He was dying, and the Lord healed him completely. Signs and wonders will be done by the hands of those who believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Signs and wonders should follow you as well as me. Signs and wonders. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. Jesus tells us that in Mark's gospel. But the multitude of the city was divided. And who divided them? The poor Jewish people. And part held with the Jews, and part held with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and of the Jews, and their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, my Lord, stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lies around and about, and there they preached the gospel. When they heard that they were going to be stoned, they left the place and go other places preaching the gospel, using the Roman roads to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. It's wonderful. But you see, this gospel of Jesus burned in the hearts of Paul, burned in the hearts of Barnabas, burned. They had to do it. It wasn't something that they just wanted to do. It was something that compelled them. It was the Holy Spirit who compelled them to preach the gospel. And there sat a certain Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Another cripple. We saw that Peter raised the cripple at the beautiful gate, but this is another one in Lystra. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beheld him, and perceiving that the man had faith to be healed. Oh yes, it's so much easier to pray for the sick when people have the faith to be healed. So much easier. He said with a loud voice, "Stand up right on your feet." And he leapt and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Well, you see, they think that Paul and Barnabas are gods. And they call Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifices with the people. So they'd have no understanding. They haven't heard the gospel yet. They think Paul and Barnabas are gods. They know that something happened to this man because he was always a cripple. Now he's no longer a cripple. He's walking and jumping and leaping, praising God, just like the man at the third chapter of Acts of the Apostles. But these poor people, they have no idea how it happened. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, that they were calling them gods, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and we preach unto you that you should turn from your vanities into the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things therein." In other words, now Paul starts to preach the gospel again, and because these people think that Paul and Barnabas are gods, and he rips his clothes as a sign that was blasphemous, because they are not gods, but they are children of God. They are priests of God. They are servants of God, but not God, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So you see the persecution that Paul's coming against. Now they finally stone him, and they take him out of the city. And what happens? Howbeit the disciples stood round about him, and he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So you see, they weren't playing ring around the rosy with Paul. There was power in that circle. It says that they stood round about him. There was power in that circle that the believers had. And Paul stood up, hallelujah, and then Paul and Barnabas leave that town and go to Derbe. What are they going to do in Derbe? They're going to preach the gospel. They're going to preach Jesus. They're going to preach the power of his death, burial, and resurrection. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God, much persecution enter the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, he then prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. It is so important that Paul and Barnabas ordain other people to preach the gospel, other people to proclaim the gospel when they're not here. We need to be fed the gospel. We need to be fed Jesus Christ. We need to never tire of proclaiming the holy name of Jesus. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. There is salvation in no other name. Not in the name of Pope Francis, not in the name of Father Tom, but there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. But I tell you, Pope Francis and Father Tom preached the Word of God, preached Jesus Christ, and when we preach Jesus, people will be saved. It is so important that we know that. The proclamation of Jesus Christ brings salvation to the people who listen and accept the Word of God. This is real. This is real. This is absolutely real. God wants us to know that the proclamation of Jesus is so very important. It is the first vocation of the priest. The first vocation of the priest is not to celebrate the Eucharist. The first vocation of the priest is to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, Jesus Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ himself as God, true God and true man. This is real. This is real. The priest's job is to proclaim Jesus. Not only the priest, but the people who believe are to proclaim Jesus. Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us on Calvary's Hill. Jesus Christ, who bled for us. Jesus Christ, who died for us. Jesus Christ, who was buried for us, and Jesus Christ, who rose for us, and who sends the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, wonderful Spirit of Jesus. Come and fill your people with all the graces and gifts that they need. Come and give consolation. Come and give times of refreshment. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, wonderful Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's pick up the fragments. What have we learned? Paul and Barnabas preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ because it burns in their heart. We also see that the Jews conspired against them, and they shake their dust feet off. They shake the dust from their feet, but they go to other places, and they go to other places because they were told they were going to be stoned, but they go to other places. They use the Roman roads, and they continue to preach in other places where Paul is stoned. And how does Paul get up from being stoned? They form a circle around Paul. Our address is inseason.net. You can go to inseason.net and leave a gift on PayPal. I will be very grateful. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and I give you my blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.